to a controversial issue now from earlier days in the U.S. war against terrorists. For more than a year, a Justice Department watchdog has been investigating whether Bush administration lawyers violated legal ethics when they authorized harsh interrogations. Attorney General Eric Holder says the investigation is nearly done. NPR's Ari Shapiro has this report on how legal ethics relate to the lawyers' torture memos.
The popular image of a lawyer is someone in a courtroom furiously spinning a one-sided version of the facts and the law. That's what advocates are supposed to do in a trial. But that's not what they're supposed to do at the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel. David Lubon is a legal ethicist at Georgetown University.
The rules are completely different when it's just the lawyer and the client in a confidential relationship. The legal ethics rules call on lawyers to be absolutely candid and straight up, not to spin the law in the way that they would if they were arguing in a courtroom, but to give more or less the same advice they would give if they knew their client wanted the opposite.
So one ethics question about the memos is, did Justice Department lawyers offer an unbiased view on the definition of torture? Critics say the lawyers left out important, relevant cases that would have pointed to different conclusions. For example, in 1983, a Texas sheriff was tried for waterboarding prisoners. Justice Department prosecutors called the practice torture back then. But a 2002 Justice Department memo analyzing whether waterboarding is torture makes no mention of the case. Brad Wendell is a legal ethicist at Cornell.
If you don't notice and cite a case that goes on and on about waterboarding and calls it torture, it just looks like willful blindness. It looks like you are kind of gerrymandering the legal advice to reach the result that your client wants without genuinely, impartially, carefully considering what the law permits.
And Wendell points to other red flags, too. But maybe lawyers didn't intentionally skew the law. Maybe they just missed the Texas case. Professor Wendell says that points to another ethics rule.
Ethics rules can require good lawyering, so, you know, sloppy lawyering can be a violation of the duty of competence.
Not every case of sloppy lawyering is an ethics breach, though.
There's a difference between not discussing every potential issue and knowingly concealing the issue.
Tom Morgan is a legal ethicist at George Washington University.
The question of what cases are relevant and what cases are not, what issues are relevant and what are not, is to some extent in the eye of the beholder.
So the challenge for Justice Department ethics investigators is to distinguish a legitimate judgment call from a violation of legal ethics that deserves to be punished. Professor Lubon says in order to make those distinctions, investigators at the Office of Professional Responsibility need to look at how the memos were created.
I'm told that the OPR report looks at email traffic and earlier drafts, which might give some other hint that the law was being cherry-picked and that the memos were being driven by the result.
Other sources confirm that a draft of the report included a detailed play-by-play of how the memos were created. That gets at the question of whether lawyers knowingly omitted important cases to skew their findings or really engaged in a good-faith analysis of the issues. The office conducting this investigation has never been under this much scrutiny before. Some of the Bush administration's defenders have accused the Office of Professional Responsibility of going on a political witch hunt. Attorney Nadira Clark defends the office. She used to work there, though she has no knowledge of this particular investigation.
You want some kind of internal policing. The department is communicating to its attorneys what is expected of them in terms of their conduct and what conduct will be and won't be acceptable.
Attorney General Eric Holder has said the report is practically finished. Now parts just have to be declassified before it can be released. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.